today as we come to the table.
The bottom line is we're not perfect, but that's why Jesus came. Understand, he died because we're not perfect. The good news is his perfection gets us in the kingdom. We simply receive him as Lord. But for those who don't know him as Lord, they try to go on their own merit and they say, well, I know that God is a God of love. I've heard that much of the Bible. And so God could not be righteous if he judged me because I'm really not that bad. And what they don't understand is that when it comes to judgment day, God's righteous standard for all of us as we stand before him will be perfection. Never a sin. And there's no way that we can stand before him unless our sins are washed away by the Lord, because we're all guilty.
Humans are not without flaws. We all make mistakes and end up in difficult situations, whether at work or in relationships. Even though we are not perfect, we like to think of ourselves as such. But how much perfection does God demand of us? And how can we attain it? Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the Daily Bible Study Program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary, Knoxville. Pastor Mark explains in today's message how you can achieve perfection in God's eyes by being sinless. However, because we're all born sinners, being sinless can be difficult. Accepting Jesus as your personal Savior and repenting of your sins is the only way to be perfect in God's eyes. Only then will God consider you righteous and without any flaws. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Genesis, chapter 18. With today's edition of Come to the Table.
Genesis chapter 18. Genesis 18, looking today at verses 16 through 33. We'll finish up Genesis 18 today. And let's read it together. Notice he says in verse 16, then the men rose from there and they looked towards Sodom, and Abram went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abram what I'm doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I've known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. And then the men turned away from there, and they went towards Sodom. But Abram still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And then Abraham answered and said, indeed now I am but dust and ashes, and have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than 50 righteous. Would you destroy all of the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And then he spoke to him again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. And he said, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And then he said, indeed, now I've taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. And he said, well, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. But once more, suppose 10 should be found there? And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. And so the Lord went his way as soon as he had finished speaking with Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. Father, I thank you. And Lord, if there's ever a place in Scripture, we see your righteousness. Lord, we see your long suffering. We see your patience. It is in this passage today. Lord, although you are indeed bringing judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, Lord, the heart is revealed. Your heart is revealed that, Lord, if there be any found there that be righteous, you would spare. God, you are a gracious God and you are a merciful God and you are a righteous God. And I pray, Lord, that even as you taught Abraham and even as you ministered to him, your justness and your righteousness, Lord, that you are a just and a fair God, but also a God of judgment in righteousness. God, that you would teach us that today and help us to understand the proper balance. That is knowing that you are indeed a God of justice and righteousness and long-suffering, but Lord, also knowing that indeed you are a God of judgment and righteousness demands it. Lord, help us not only to understand it so that may not yet know you, Lord, they've not committed to you and repented of their sin and given their life, that they might understand the need to do that so that they might be forgiven and not stand under your judgment. But God, that we as your children might know how to deal with a world that right now, for the most part, is under your judgment. That we might, Lord, see them also pulled out of Sodom, if you will, that they might come to know the God that has saved us and pulled us out of the cesspool of sin that we were involved in. Lord, bless the teaching of your word today. Minister to your flock. Encourage us, strengthen us, and Lord, draw the lost to yourself if there should be any hearing this message that are in that camp. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 18, today we look at God's righteous judgment. Now, again, a lot of us think of the term judgment, and we think, well, you know, how could God bring judgment and be righteous? Again, not the believer, but there are oftentimes those who don't know the Lord, who accuse him of being unrighteous in his judgment. And note that I say for those who don't know the Lord, because we as followers of the Lord, we realize that God is righteous, that God is long-suffering, that God is merciful. And although God is merciful and righteous, we also understand that with righteousness comes the requirement of judgment. You see, if there's not judgment, there can't be righteousness. If there's not judgment, then it overlooks things that are done wrong. Someone must pay for all that is done wrong. Now, the good news for the believer is that Jesus Christ has paid it all. If we believe in him, his sacrifice on the cross, it is paid for. And so God has given a way out that no one has to face judgment. The Bible says that God desired that none perish. And so he's given us a way out. But the bottom line is that if mankind does not repent, there comes a point where God has no choice but to judge. Now, as I said, oftentimes, by those who don't know the Lord, there's an accusation that in that judgment, God is not just, that God is unrighteous. They'll say things like, how could a righteous God, or how could a God of love? You know, oftentimes you think of when the children of Israel went into the land of Canaan, which is now Israel today, and God told them to go in and to wipe out everyone and to take the land. They'll say, how could a God of love and justice do that? No, it's because he was a God of love and justice that he did that, because this was a nation, if you will, that had sinned against God grievously for over 400 years, God warning them. And then refusing to repent, God had no choice but to be just and to deal with the issue. And again, you'll hear people say, well, what about, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah? How could God judge them? And what about me? How could God judge me? I'm basically a good person. And so how could God judge a good person? See, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that none are good, no, not one. It says in Romans 3 that nobody is good before the Lord. Now, we do good things, and sometimes we do, you know, things that are nice or whatever, but in God's standard of perfection, the Bible says none are good. God is perfect. And in order to enter heaven, the Bible says we have to be what? Perfect. Now, does anybody meet that standard today? I think not. The bottom line is we're not perfect, but that's why Jesus came. Understand, he died because we're not perfect. The good news is his perfection gets us in the kingdom. We simply receive him as Lord. But for those who don't know him as Lord, they try to go on their own merit and they say, well, I know that God is a God of love. I've heard that much of the Bible. And so God could not be righteous if he judged me because I'm really not that bad. And what they don't understand is that when it comes to judgment day, God's righteous standard for all of us as we stand before him will be perfection. Never a sin. And there's no way that we can stand before him unless our sins are washed away by the Lord, because we're all guilty. Now, again, remember the setting here. As we look at this today, we're going to see in today's passage, God is a God of judgment as he brings judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. And actually, when we get into chapter 19, we'll see the actual judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. But God's setting the stage here for his judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. But we're going to see that God goes overboard to show that he is a righteous and a fair judge. And again, there are many that accuse God of not being righteous and not being fair. But the Bible says that God is righteous in all that he does. And that God is just. There will be no one that can stand before the Lord on that day and say, no one warned me. This wasn't fair. And you say, well, wait a minute. What about the person who hadn't heard? We've talked about it. Romans chapter 1, remember, says that even God, by his creation, will reveal to those who cannot hear. So by his very creation, those who have not heard about Jesus Christ, God says he will supernaturally reveal that he is God and that there's a coming judgment by nature itself. And then when they stand before the Lord, however God reveals it, I don't know. God is God. He's able to do that. But it says that all will be without excuse. And so we will see God's righteous judgment today, and we'll see that Abraham asked a question that many of us have asked before we came to the Lord, and many people that don't know the Lord, and maybe you're here today and asking that very question. And that is God not just? Is God not righteous? How could God bring judgment on this earth? And hopefully those questions will be answered today. Now, again, remember the setting. Jesus and two angels have just shown up. They talked to Abraham, and they concerning a couple of issues. What were the issues? One was the promise of a child to Sarah, and the other was the fact that God was going to bring judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah. And so that's where we take up in this passage today. Notice verse 16, it says this, "Then the men, that is the Lord and the two angels, rose from there and they looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on their way." Now note this, it's interesting. Notice that Abraham simply didn't just say goodbye. He had just had this wonderful experience with the Lord. I mean, this was a great time. The Lord himself had shown up in a very real way, and he's having a great time with the Lord, the angels being there, you know, talking about the promises of God, the things God's going to do in his life, and now they get ready to leave, and he doesn't just say, well, goodbye, see you next week. See you next Sunday, Lord. Notice it says he went with them. What is my point in this? Listen, Abraham learned a valuable lesson, and that is those who receive the blessings of the Lord to the greatest degree are those who do not just, when that sweet experience with the Lord is over, when that time of sharing is over with the Lord, they go their way and leave the Lord behind, but they go with him. What is my point? Well, the application I've already revealed, and that is simply this. Listen, I think there are some of us that sometimes think, okay, I went and did my Sunday morning, now let's go on with my life. Now, you can be a believer and do that. You can know Jesus Christ and not really include the Lord as much as we should through the week. We can do that. The Bible says he'll receive all that come to him and confess their sins and save them. And yet, if you want the special blessing of the Lord, if you want the insight that God gives, the Bible calls it the hidden manna. Now, I'm not saying secrets that others can't get, such as the Gnostics would teach, that somehow there's this hidden, you know, thing that we can have that no other believer can have. No, it's simply this. The Bible says that those who will be faithful to stay close to the Lord and follow the Lord, that is those that not just show up on Sunday morning, but follow the Lord through the week, have their time in the Word, have their time in prayer. Whenever they're going, they follow the Lord and wherever he leads. The Bible says that God will give them special treasure, that God will give them special blessing, that God will give them special insight. And so again, Abraham had learned this. He said, you know what? I'm going to stay with the Lord. He was a man that walked with the Lord. And he's the man that always wanted to be near the Lord. You ever been around people that seem to get things out of the Bible you just can't seem to find? Does it bug you like it does me? Where'd you get that? That was great. How'd you hear that? Where's that coming from? You know what that is? It's those that have learned they need to go with the Lord everywhere. You see, Jesus is not Sunday morning and now we go to work. Jesus is not Sunday morning and now we do whatever. The Lord should be our very life. We should live, eat, and sleep Jesus Christ. Everything that's a part of us should be him. Abraham learned this. The Lord left. He said, I'm going with you. You know, it's interesting. Corrie ten Boom probably said this the best, and you've probably heard me say this before, but she said, you know, God has no favorites, but he does have intimates. And what does she mean by that? You see, there was the crowd that followed Jesus around. They were the ones that whenever he gathered somewhere to teach, you would see the huge crowds gather. We would call that Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. The crowds gathered to hear the teaching of the Lord. But then there were the 12 that followed him everywhere he went. They were the ones that when the lights weren't on and when the band wasn't playing, so to speak, they were just sitting around the fire saying, Lord, what's going to happen? What's going on in my life? And what's the future like, Lord? And God, and they're asking intimate questions. And Lord, what about my friend? And Lord, and God, they're just eye to eye, heart to heart, revealing things to them that the crowds never got. And what is my heart? What is my appeal to you? Don't be just those who come when the crowd's gathering and that's all the Jesus you ever get. Follow him down the trail of life. Walk with the Lord from town to town. Don't just leave the service and leave the Lord behind. Be like Abraham. Go with him. Travel with him. Listen to his heart. Let him hear your heart. Spend time in the Word, time in prayer, time pouring out yourself to the Lord, and let God show you that intimacy that he wants to show. And what we're going to see is here is in this fact that Abraham followed the Lord says, you know what? I'm going to reveal more to you, Abraham. I told you back there some of the things, but now that you follow me, you know what? I'm going to reveal more to you. I'm going to give you insight even prophetically. I'm going to let you know what's going to be happening in Sodom and Gomorrah. I'm going to give you things that, you know what? Others that didn't follow me in your camp aren't going to hear. And what a lesson that is for us, to make sure that we're those that are saying, Lord, I want more, I want more. You know, it's interesting. In James 2:23, speaking about Abraham, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Would we be called the friend of God? Yes, we're saved in the Lord, but what is a friend like? It's one thing to know somebody. Now, all of you probably have people here you say hi to when you come to church on Sunday morning. Hi, you're doing good to see you. Hey, hello. And they're a friend, they're a brother or sister in the Lord, but they're not an intimate with you, are they? They're not the maybe someone that you spend all week with, talking with, and that's okay. You can't spend time with everyone. Everyone has close friends, if you will. The exciting thing about the Lord is we have the ability for every one of us in this room to be an intimate with Jesus Christ. There is no one in this room that has to miss that. And the Lord desires that. But see, a close friend is one that you keep up with throughout the week. You talk to them on a regular basis. You share your life. They share their life. Abraham was called a friend of God. Why? Because he shared his life, not particular moments. He shared his life with Jesus Christ. And Jesus shared his life with him. And because of that, he was known as a friend of God. Would God call us a friend of God? Would he say that about us today? You know, would he say about me? He would say, Mark, you know what? You're my friend. I consider you a friend. Now, I'm not talking about a lack of respect because he is God. And we have that position of reverence for the Lord. But would he see me as one that, you know what, communicates enough with him that he would say, now that's a friend. You see, you and I communicate every day. We have regular communication. It's not just certain times and then you disappear and then we come back together. No, it's this intimacy that's always there. And that's where Abraham was. He was the type of person, this type of person will always have the intimate secrets, the intimate things of the Lord revealed to him and revealed in his heart, the inside scoop, if you will, and that was Abraham. And notice it says, he went with them, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? You know, he's my friend. He's this intimate of mine. I'm not going to hide this from him. Notice it says, since Abraham surely shall become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, and that he may keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Now, notice this. There's a lot of stuff in this, but notice the reasons here he gives in Scripture that he declares that God told Abraham what he was going to do in Sodom. Now, first of all, we gave the first one, and that is because of the intimacy they had. You know, God says, interesting, in Hebrews 11:6, God said this, without faith, it is impossible to please him, that is God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder, note that, a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Again, he doesn't say he's a rewarder of those who hang out just at service times. He's a rewarder of those who how seek him? Diligently. And now Abraham, in his diligent seeking of the Lord, God says, you know what? I'm going to reveal these things to him. And notice he gives the reasons. Of course, we know the first one. Because he was a diligent seeker of the Lord, God revealed these special insights to him. But also notice because Abraham was going to become, he says, a great and mighty nation with the other nations of the earth blessed in him. Now, that's interesting. He says he's going to be a great and mighty nation. So I'm going to reveal to him what I'm going to do. So the friendship, the fact of what God had called him to do, and also it's interesting because in Genesis 20, verse 7, the Bible declares that Abraham was a prophet. Now, we don't oftentimes see Abraham as being a prophet, do we? But the Bible says he was, and in Amos 3:7, it says this, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Now, this is exciting. First and foremost, for God revealing those secrets to Abraham, but it's also interesting to realize that God says, in my word, I'm going to reveal through the prophets what my plan is for the earth, what my plan is for mankind. You ever wonder what the future holds? God says, I've revealed it. It's in my word. But here's the problem for us. We have to become intimate with the Lord and spend time in his word to find out what it is. And now because Abraham has decided, I'm going to spend time with the Lord. I'm going to follow him everywhere he goes. I want to hear what's going to be happening. I want to know God in a greater way. God says, I'm going to reveal that. I've revealed everything through my prophets. Now again, he didn't declare that he would give every detail of everything, but God does say that he will reveal prophetically what is coming for mankind and what is coming in the world. And that's exactly what we see in the scripture. See, this should excite us. Not only that God has told us, but God has given it to you. You have access to that. You know, most of the world doesn't know that. When you go and you study God's word, you see prophetically what's going to happen, you can tell them, well, here's what's going to happen. What's going on in the world today? Look at Europe. Look at the Middle East. This is a mess. I know. What? I know. You do? Yeah, well, I know what's going to happen. Really? What? Well, what's going to happen is all of Europe is going to gather together. They're going to eventually become the major economic power of the world. Somehow the United States will be absorbed into that. We don't know exactly how. There's going to be a world ruler that's going to come out of that particular area. There's not going to be peace in the Middle East until that world ruler rises up, and he's going to finally bring peace in the Middle East, and he'll sign a covenant between the Jews and the Arabs. They're going to divide the land up. It appears they might even divide up part of the Temple Mount, which will make them both happy, and you begin to tell them the future, and their mouths are dropped open. Who are you? How do you know that? Anybody can know it. Really? How? Because God has revealed everything in his prophets. But you see, what we have to do is know what the Word of God says to know that, don't we? Yeah, but it's getting so bad. What's going to happen? I mean, things are getting really bad down here. And it's getting really, what about all the people that, you know, what about those that are nice and all in the world? You know, you say the Bible says it's going to get really ugly and all that. Well, don't worry. God says he's going to take all the believers off the earth before that happens. Now, sure, it gets ugly and it's ugly now. But before God begins to really pour out his wrath that the Bible talks about in the very last days where there's these huge cataclysmic events worldwide, the Bible says he's going to remove his church from the earth. Really? Yeah. Where does it say that? Well, 1 Thessalonians 4, et cetera. You see the point. People want to know what's happening. You guys have access to that. You should not only know yourself by spending time with the Lord, but you should be able to share with others. When they're going, whoa, this big thing in Iran, what's happening with Iran? Boy, they're getting pretty, they got a nuclear weapon and they say they're going to wipe Israel off the mat. And all. Oh, you know, as a matter of fact, they are going to attack Israel. What? Yeah, they're going to attack them and Russia's going to join them. Really? Yeah, Russia and Iran are going to come together and they're going to come down. This is, how'd you know that? Ezekiel 38 and 39. What's going to happen? Well, they're all going to get wiped out. Who, Israel? No. All of the Russian and Iranian army. Really? Yeah. Where is that? And see, God has told us that the Bible tells us all of this. When we watch the news, we're not surprised. Oh, yeah, I knew that would happen. I realize that. I see that coming. Now, we need to tell other people that's happening. We need to let them know God has revealed these things to us. And why was God revealing it to Abraham? Because Abraham was spending time with the Lord to have it revealed. See, it wasn't enough for Abraham to have that special moment. He went with the Lord. Lord, I want more. What else do you have? God, when's it going to happen? It's like sitting there on the tomb, Lord, when's it going to happen? The Lord has even given signs about when it's going to happen. Again, I'm getting off on a whole different subject. We'll get back to where we are, but the point is here is that God does reveal these things, and God reveals them, this new information to Abraham, because he knows that Abraham will be faithful. Note this, another reason is he reveals it to Abraham because he says you'll be faithful to pass it on to your kids. Let me ask you this, moms and dads, can God reveal to you the intimate things of his word, knowing that you'll be faithful to pass it on to your kids? See, why would God reveal it to you if he knows you're not going to be faithful to pass it on? Paul said to Timothy, Timothy, teach these things to those who will be faithful. And teach these things to those who will be faithful to pass it on to others. God didn't say teach it to everybody. And I'm not saying we withhold information. Don't get me wrong. The point is God gives you information. He shared with you some things prophetically. God will do that in your quiet times for a specific reason, not just so that you know, which is great, but so that you can pass it on to others. And let me say this, moms and dads, specifically in this instance, so it can be passed on to your children. Are you training your kids up in the Word of God? Well, yeah, Pastor Mark, I bring them to church every week. Wait a minute, that's not you training them up, is it? That's Calvary Chapel. Well, is there anything wrong with that? No, that's great. We want to be a part of that. We like to be helpers in watching your kids be trained up in the Lord. But God has called you as a mom and dad, first and foremost, to train up your children in the way they should go. That when they're old, the Bible says they'll not depart. It's our job to do that. So moms and dads, we should be training our kids up. And you say, well, how do I do that? How do I train my kids up? Listen, it's really not that hard. We simply set aside a time in the evening with our kids.
Well, our time at the table of God's Word has come to a close for today. But what are some things you gained from what you heard? The book of Genesis gets the ball rolling, causing you to think about all kinds of big picture questions, things related to the creation of the world, why God would allow a worldwide flood, and why were the Israelites his chosen people? These are all good things to think about and to dig further in God's Word. But our hope is that what you heard today has helped solidify some things that might have been in question before. God was specific in how he brought things about. None of it was accidental or haphazard. As you listen through this series, we trust that you'll come to some great realizations about who God is and what he's done and is doing. To listen to this message again or share with a friend, go to thewaymedia.net. Once again, that's thewaymedia.net. Simply click on the Come to the Table tab. If you have some questions about what you heard today, we'd love to pray for you or answer any questions you may have. So reach out to us through the questions and comments link on our website or call us at 865-609-1385. That's 865-609-1385. Please don't hesitate to reach out. We encourage you to stay grounded in God's Word, allowing Jesus to grow you and draw you closer to Him daily, being willing to go where He's guiding you. Pastor Mark has prepared another teaching here in the book of Genesis. So join us again the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.